I actually came from California. I worked for many years for the Mother's Milk Bank of San Jose. And my now husband is from Missoula. And we lived here in the winter of 2012. And at that time, I connected with Lindsay, who is a registered nurse, but had a dream to open a milk bank here in Montana, largely due to the fact that she adopted a very malnourished baby from Ethiopia about 5 years ago now. And one, if not a few, mothers in the community actually offered their milk and shared their milk with her to help her baby, Disa, who really needed breast milk. So my boss in San Jose, the executive director of the milk bank there, had said, you know, if you're moving to Montana, do some research and see what it, you know, what would it take to get a milk bank up and running there, because Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, that's an area that is pretty underserved in terms of donor milk.
Why has it taken so long, do you think, here? Is it just our rural nature?
All the nonprofit milk banks in the United States operate under the same association called the Human Milk Bank Association of North America. So we follow really strict guidelines, really guidelines that are similar to blood banks. You know, and blood banks are everywhere throughout the state. Almost anyone is familiar with donating blood. Lots of people donate blood. I think there's a lot less awareness and understanding about donating breast milk, even though really we follow much of the same guidelines. And instead of blood, we collect breast milk, pasteurize it, and distribute it. So I think for years and years, whether it's Montana or California or Delaware, there's still a lot of work to be done to educate about donating milk and then to therefore establish more milk banks. I think that we are the 15th nonprofit milk bank in the United States, sort of all of North America, so that includes Canada. So I would say there's also sort of a large expense associated with establishing a milk bank. There used to be a lot more sort of smaller kitchen banks, run out of women's homes, much smaller milk banks that really would just serve their local community. But in the early 80s, when it came out that HIV could pass through breast milk, and then a blood test was required by each donor and the expense went up, a lot of those banks closed down, and it's been a really slow process to build them back up because there just are more resources needed to establish a nonprofit milk bank.
You know, we hear all the time about how breast milk is so nutritious. Why is it so good? Why is it better than, you know, your average formula?
There are so many answers to that question. But, you know, breast milk has components to it, especially, you know, certain enzymes and antibodies that no matter how good the formula is, just not present in formula. Again, no matter how high quality the formula is, it's just breast milk is something that cannot be replicated. It builds a baby's immune system and prevents all kinds of illnesses that are just not possible with formula. I mean, formula has all kinds of good things in it, you know, all kinds of vitamins and really essential things for a baby, but there are just certain things, and I think especially when it comes to the antibodies and the enzymes that help fight illness and keep a baby really healthy through those first couple of years of life. Goat's milk or cow's milk is never going to have the same properties and benefits that human breast milk is going to have for a human baby.
So then who do these banks serve? Meaning under what circumstances can a woman not or at least have difficulty producing for her own baby?
Traditionally, milk banks, especially nonprofit milk banks, you know, one of the reasons they have such strict guidelines around donating and pasteurizing is that they serve hospital neonatal intensive care units. So a lot of this milk that we pasteurize or that the Mother's Milk Bank in San Jose pasteurizes or any other milk bank, and it's going to very premature and sick babies in the NICU who really benefit from that milk. And sometimes when a baby is born premature, mom is pumping her milk, you know, trying to get her milk supply up, but it's oftentimes harder to build up a milk supply when you've had a premature baby. So that's why neonatal intensive care units, more and more of them are ordering and having a supply of donor milk on their unit because they, you know, see the benefits to a lot of those babies. And it buys that the mom time to build up her supplies. And then also we do have outpatient recipients of milk. So that would mean that a family would call and want to order donor milk for their baby. And families that adopt a baby and want donor milk over formula, they may call to order milk, and they do have to get a prescription from a doctor to order the milk. So we don't distribute without a prescription.
Oh, a prescription? How odd. Why?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's part of the Human Milk Bank Association North America guidelines that hospitals can order the milk and families can also order milk, but they do need a prescription from their doctor with pretty basic information about the baby, the diagnosis, which can be, you know, as simple as adoption prescription or low milk supply, and the amount of ounces to distribute. So we distribute based on that prescription.
Is this a fee service or a nonprofit or what?
So the Mother's Milk Bank of Montana is a nonprofit organization. We do charge for the milk, and that's a processing fee that goes back into the operations of the milk bank. So we are not by any means profiting or a for-profit, but we do charge for the milk, which makes us a rare sort of nonprofit.
So then who are your donors? Who can and who cannot donate milk?
Let's say a mom wants to donate her milk, and typically that's a healthy mom with a healthy baby who has just extra milk, milk she knows that her baby won't use. And oftentimes we get calls from moms who have a freezer full of breast milk, and they know they're not going to use it, and they want to free up room in their freezer. So that's oftentimes, you know, once a mom has 100, 150 ounces, she calls us. Quickly, that process is they do a quick screening with us over the phone, you know, which really just asks basic demographic questions and a really sort of basic health questionnaire, things like, you know, are you on any medications, any history of blood transfusion or an organ tissue transplant, those sorts of things. And as long as it passed that screening, then we send them the longer application that they then fill out. And once we have that information back, then we do send each of our donors for a blood test. So they are required to get a blood test that tests for five specific things. And once we get a negative result on all of those, then they are cleared to donate their milk. Oftentimes what disqualifies a donor is medications. Hmm. There are certain medications that are just fine. A lot of like allergy meds, women that are on thyroid medication, typically that's just fine. But then there are a list of medications that unfortunately do disqualify donors. So that's the biggest thing that we screen for.
Which meds are disqualifiers?
It really varies. Certain antidepressants, but certain antidepressants are also just fine. So, you know, we go off this really long list. If a mom is on antibiotics for any reason, she can't donate during that time she's taken the antibiotics. But let's say she's taken antibiotics for 7 days, then we have a 3-day waiting period. And then after that, she's able to donate. So there are certain medications or pain meds. Sometimes if a mom has had a C-section and she's on pain medication right after, we couldn't take any milk that she's pumped and saved then. But as long as there's that 3-day waiting period and she's not on any other meds that would disqualify her, then we can start taking her milk. So if it's, you know, certain medication that she's on daily that isn't okay, then that would disqualify her. And then there's certain medications that just temporarily disqualify a donor.
If I've missed this, I'm sorry, but is this then kind of also on the honor system? You're asking, and if they say, no, I'm not on Prozac or fill in the blank, do you just take their word? Or?
Yes. I mean, the blood test gives us a result for things like hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HIV, those major chronic infections. But in terms of medications, you know, we obviously screen for drug use and smoking and all that, and that's all really truly is on the honor system.
How big is your distribution area, and what's the response been so far?
Our goal is to be the regional milk bank for Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, South Dakota, and North Dakota. Currently, I would say we are serving mostly Montana hospitals and individual recipients. We have shipped a bit of milk to individual recipients in North Dakota and have generated some interest in Idaho with hospitals that aren't currently using donor milk but that would like to in the future. So a lot of our work in the, you know, beginning of this year of 2014 is to really connect with those that are interested in using donor milk but currently aren't.
And Ms. Wellborn, you said that you were involved in this issue in your time in California. What got you involved in the first place?
So I have a PhD in perinatal psychology, and initially I did my dissertation research at the Mother's Milk Bank in San Jose, and actually interviewed about 20 bereaved mothers, women who lost a baby and then donated their milk after their loss.
Wow.
So it was really specific, you know, and again, to back up from there, as I said before, most women who donate their milk are healthy moms with healthy babies that just have extra milk. There is a small percentage of women of bereaved mothers who choose to donate their milk after losing a baby. And I was interested in that experience.
How sad and how beautiful a gift all at one time. Gee.
I think that sums it up in many ways. You know, I don't think there's anything that can make up for such a tragic experience as losing a baby. And I would say all the women that I interviewed donating their milk in some capacity helped them heal from their loss and also helped them connect with being a mother in some capacity when they couldn't be a mother to their own baby. And again, it by no means made up for their loss, but there is meaning and healing in that experience for them. Choosing to donate after losing a baby is not the right choice for every bereaved mother, but for some, it does help and provide healing.
My goodness. How can people find out more?
By either calling the Mothers Bank of Montana office in Missoula. And I think also to say, and hope this doesn't complicate things too much, the Mothers Bank of Montana is actually also housed with the Nursing Nook, which is both a lactation store and a place where women can get lactation help with breastfeeding. And so our goal in setting up with the Nursing Nook was to really be sort of like a one-stop shop for anything lactation related. So you can call the office at 406-531-6789 or email us at info@mothersmilkbankofmt.org.
And I've been speaking with Jessica Wellborn. I love the irony of your last name, of the
<Thank you. laughs>
Mother's Milk Bank of Montana. Jessica, thanks a lot for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Ed.